Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me as always is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing on this overcast Monday morning?
I was going to say good morning.
And thank you for that.
I'm doing pretty good. We had a weekend. We had a fun weekend.
We had a bit of a fun weekend. Nobody can tell us what to do and who to be and why.
And it's Monday. The week is starting. And do we want to... I mean, we got our vaccination, and on Tuesday, is it? We're clear?
Yeah, we're in the clear shortly.
Man, it's been fucking long, eh?
I know. What are we going to do?
I'm afraid about going back into society, actually.
Yeah, I might do nothing.
I might just, it might just stay the same.
I might just chat about it. I might just be like, I also got the vaccine. Well, see you.
Well, I'm going to stay home because I never liked anyone touching me.
Yeah, I'm just going to text people how safe I feel within my house.
I think it was Carrie O'Neill. You know, have you had Carrie on the podcast? Carrie O'Neill?
No, I should.
You should. She had a tweet that was like, when this all lifts. She's seeing a lot of tweets about people hugging people. It's like, don't hug me, even when this is over, do not hug me.
News for you. I never wanted your touch and I never will.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm doing pretty good. Have we abandoned the race for 20?
We have not abandoned the race for 20. Wait, give me a number on a scale of 1 to 10 about how you're doing.
Oh, right. Okay. Let's say I'm a 5.
I was going to guess 5. Really? Man, when you're neutral, you're neutral.
You were going to guess that
I was going to guess you were a 5. Here's why. You woke up in a fairly good mood.
Right.
So that for someone would be a 7 or 8, which for you is a 5, right? So below 5, okay, that I can kind of feel out. I'm like, he's a bit of a crank today. We'll see. But when you're in a good mood, that's a neutral.
I think anything 5 and above is good. 5 is
5 is neutral. It's the middle.
It's the middle. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm 6.
I mean, this is an astronomical number coming out of you.
Well, I'm not in a great mood, but...
Yeah, but you seem pretty light this morning, Norm. You're bopping around. You're cutting mushrooms.
That's how I'm in a good mood.
That's how I know you're in a good mood. Hey, you're chopping mushies.
Norm seems fucking happy as hell. He's chopping mushrooms.
Hey, what a time we have.
We watched WrestleMania this weekend.
We watched WrestleMania, and thank God I said no to participating.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. They didn't want you for a match.
I'd have been mortified if I had wrestled in that. Hello.
I used to watch wrestling, and I used to like work in the business and whatever, like not for WWE. But we hadn't watched wrestling in like over a year.
Oh, my God. In so long.
And
did you miss it?
No. No, it's weird to watch.
Yeah, it is.
It's not for me.
You know what? It's just the storylines are getting out of hand.
Yeah. There's too many people.
I'd say that's what it is. Yeah. There's too many people, so they're all kind of just having the same story. Like, you were my friend, now you're not my friend, and you betray me, now you betray me. You know, it's a lot of betrayal.
Bad Bunny was good, though.
He was so good. You guys had to see Bad Bunny, very big musician, and he came in and he wrestled the entire match. Like, I mean, he went for it.
Yeah,
that,
he went for it.
That did make me want to be like, oh, maybe I can do a celeb pop-in.
You want to do a celeb pop-in at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, to represent the podcast for my crowd, which is a wrestling crowd.
Represent the podcast.
If you guys think I should wrestle at the next WrestleMania on behalf of Self-Esteem Party Podcast, please tweet us at Self-Esteem Party hashtag. Wait, what's one of the moves they do?
I don't know.
Power bomb?
Yeah, power
hashtag bomb. Power bomb. I'm just saying, Norm, you gotta have dreams.
Okay, and yours is to wrestle at WrestleMania on behalf of the podcast. Yeah.
I don't want to do it for me. I want to do it for the people.
You want to do it for us.
Yeah, for our marriage. I want to save our marriage at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I'm just in a
cage.
Then
I'm in a
cage above the ring.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to re-force you to re-propose.
Okay, at the end of the match, if you win.
Yeah, and if I don't win, peace and grease, we are signing those papiers, which is French for paper.
I have to marry, Tamina Snuka.
And I don't see why not on any day.
On any day. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've got a hot episode on our hands today.
Well, Carl's the guest.
Yes, our guest today is Carl Tart. We had a fantastic time, chatting and catching up and everything.
Do you talk
like that.
About his Arby's one
we
piece?
We do, oh, we do. He great. Had, and it's posted online, a sensational Arby's jumpsuit. And I did, I will be posting it. It's so fantastic. So you guys check that out. We
I
did
like
talk
Carl.
About it.
When was the last time we saw Carl?
I haven't seen him in ages.
It might have been that
I
time
seen
we
him
went
so
to
long.
The beach. Remember when we went to the beach and he was there with Pat McDonald? Who was that for? Anyway.
I guess I just don't really keep track of my former beach days.
I think it was for Matt Dova's birthday.
Should I sing my Beach Body song?
No.
Okay. So let's just get to the guests.
Just don't do that. Guess. I'm at a five. The idea of next year's WrestleMania is having me at a six. So don't ruin this for me.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest, Carl Tart, right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Carl, thank you so much for joining me on What Some People Are Calling a Podcast. How are you?
I'm great. It's so good to see you. I was just looking at a picture on my phone of us probably from 7 years ago.
Oh, my God. What photo?
It was when you were doing our show.
Oh, my God.
It was a cool picture we took in the green room because I was talking to my cousin about, I was like, this is how I was dressing when I first came back from Amsterdam, and I was thin. And I was in my my Kurt Cobain bag with my with my, you know, graphic tees under a open flannel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, it's a perfect picture. And it was me and you.
Well, hey, all I can ask for is to be a part of your fashion forward movement. Thank you for including me.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you?
You know what? Thanks so much for asking. I'm doing good. I'm in a really good mood right now because I just did a Zumba on the Nintendo Switch. And
nice.
Let me tell you, Carl, I am back. A lot of people are saying I really lost myself this last year. Norm got me the Zumba game, and it's as if I'm a whole new Alana. I know that sounds so stupid, but it's like something I used to love doing. And you're like, you know, you're dancing along with the people. I'm really bad at it. I'm getting no points here. I can't even begin. But the music's fun, and it feels like my friends and I are dancing, my new digital friends. So it's
that's
good.
Dope. Do you see other real people, or is it like video game people?
They have live classes, but nice. You know, that's a commitment. I have to work my way up to that, I think.
Fair enough.
Okay, we actually, speaking of how we're doing, I'd like to start this podcast off with a self-esteem party check-in. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about yourself in terms of self-esteem? Today, lately, whatever.
Lately, I would say I'm at about a 7.7.
Okay.
On the Richter.
On the Richter.
I've been feeling better because I've struggled with self-esteem issues over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And as of recent, of course, when I was stuck trying to, you know, when I was stuck in a house, I learned a lot of things about myself. And I just started to focus on getting better with that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So reading the Four Agreements and talking to people, therapists and stuff like that, you know, just trying to be like, hey, I shouldn't feel this way. Like, I shouldn't feel, so I realized I was using social life as a crutch, mm-hmm. to like not deal with who I am. So
yeah,
I've been doing that since I've been by myself.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the problem with a social, like with a lot of socializing, is you get a lot of self-worth and validation from other people, but then you take that mm-hmm. away and you're like, oh, turns out I didn't even give myself a second thought this whole time.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Now, have you been quarantined on your own, or have you been quarantined with people?
I'm quarantined on my own.
Okay.
But I made pods and stuff because it was getting too hard. The drugs was calling. So I like that social drug was definitely calling the whole time. So I definitely was like, I was lucky enough to my cousin is here, and he was just with his girlfriend, and so we would do Friday night dinners throughout the
Oh my God, I'm so jealous. Everyone that, all my friends were, you know, caught up in too many other people, and it was too scary. I couldn't bubble properly. I wish I could have.
Yeah.
My family bubbled back home, and I was so jealous because they bubbled the entire time, and I'm like, I'm going rogue here. And bless Norm, what a great person to be with, but you've got to branch out.
How much football were y'all watching? I know Norm was working at NFL.
Carl, nonstop. I mean, it was like it would be three games a day minimum. And that doesn't even count flipping to other games. But it was like Monday night, Thursday night, all of Sunday. And then when it switched to Saturday, like, I mean, it was nonstop. And then we have to watch the shows discussing the football. So we had to watch all those shows. I mean, I should be getting an award for wife of that 4 months.
That sounds like my jam. That's how I was doing. But yeah, nah, we potted up. We potted up. And then once they said that it was cool to like do outdoor hangs, I bought a Coleman chair. And I was in everybody's backyard I could possibly be in. I was needing the people, but I also took the time to, hey, man, just stay at home. Just get used to being at home.
Okay.
So, and be used to being with yourself.
So you mentioned the Four Agreements. I'm assuming you read the book?
I read the book, yeah.
Okay. This is great. What would you say, do you have an order of how they work for you? Do you have one that really stuck out for you? Like, what was yours? Or more than one, if you had more than one.
The one that really hit me the hardest is don't take things personally. Because that was my biggest issue.
Yeah.
I take a lot of stuff personally. I take everything personally. And doing these podcasts, like, people will talk to you all day that you don't know. And so they'll say things that are like too like insider, you know, like they'll comment on like weight and stuff like that because like, okay. So like if me and Mike Mitchell, our friend Mike Mitchell, if we talk about being bigger guys, you know, like we could talk about that because we're bigger dudes, you know, but we're both like athletic guys and not just like, you know, it ain't like, I don't like when a stranger is like, big boy, hell yeah, big man, like, and stuff like, it's like, hey, man, don't comment on my weight.
Yeah.
But I was trying to figure out, like, why was that bothering me? Like, this is a stranger.
Yeah.
Like, why is a stranger saying, even a stranger saying this? And it bothers me because I'm bothered by it. You know, I'm bothered by the weight that I carry or whatever. Like, I don't look like I looked in high school.
Mm-hmm.
None of us do. But yeah. I don't look like I looked in high school. So that to me was my prime.
Yeah.
You know, like, so like I'm an adult now. I'm an adult man. I've put on weight. I can still run and I can still jump and I can still do a lot of the things I was doing in high school, but I can't do them as well as I was. And I can't. So that bothers me. So when a stranger is like, yeah, big dog. Yeah, like I posted that picture of me in the Arby's.
Yes.
Suit.
Which I went crazy for, by the way. Crazy for it.
They sent me that. And it looks great. I love it. But I still was like, I posted it because I was like, I'm preparing myself for people to be commenting on my weight, commenting on this RB. Like, and people did. But it did because I read that book and because I was like, don't take it personally. That's something that they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they feel ashamed of their weight. And hearing me helps them go like, it's okay because this guy, I like this guy, and he's, you know, confident in his weight and stuff like that. Or he's, you know, and so just little stuff like that. My cousin called me out because he would try to, like, make these little jokes with me, and I'd be like, what do you mean by that?
Uh-huh.
And I would just get defensive, like, because I don't do that to people.
Right.
You know, I'm never the aggressor when it comes to, like, calling out somebody for something or talking about somebody's, even if they're my close friends and I don't mean anything by it, I just don't, that's never my first approach. Not saying that I don't do it. Like, me and my friends, we getting, you know, me and Lamar roast each other over something silly. But
oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. But, like, it's never, like, I never really start off with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the first thing somebody says to me is like, oh, you do this. You know, and I'm just like, what do you mean by it? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just like, it's because I guess I get worried that, oh man, is this how they perceive me? And then I go, well, do I perceive me like that?
Yeah.
No. So why do I care about if they perceive me like that? Like, why do I care so much about what people think? And it's usually something that they got going on.
Yeah.
So if somebody says, oh, you taking a golf lesson? Wow. Oh man, mister, I want to take a golf lesson. That person wishes that they were taking a golf lesson.
Yes. So that was the one that stuck out to me too, right? I totally, like, even in asking people something so simple, asking people to do the podcast, I'm always nervous they're not going to say yes. Like, I just talked about this with Nick Weiger. I had the same thing with you where I was like, oh, I don't know if he'd want to do it. Norm was like, what are you talking about? If he doesn't want to do it, maybe he's busy. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. People get busy. People have things. Or if someone doesn't want to do it, maybe they're not in a chatty mood. yeah. It's been a tough year, and maybe not everybody wants to talk about how they feel about themselves, especially if it's not the best. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes, as my therapist would say, you can talk about things too much. And yeah. you gotta draw a line, because otherwise you're just perpetuating negative thinking and negative speech. But yeah. but it's like, it's really interesting in your case, because, well, two things. One, it's true, you do not come at people, and that's one of my compliments for you, is you're very respectful. I always notice that. Like, I'm an easy target to make fun of, and we did the show for months together, and you never made fun of me. Like, not, no. And everybody else did, all in jokes, obviously, but yes. you never made fun of me. You were
Ronnie
so,
is a big maker fun
oh,
of
me. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
He's a big roaster, yeah.
But it was like, so that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, I think because you're someone that exudes such confidence, that people are like, oh yeah, he can take it, like whatever that mm-hmm. whatever that means. But it's like, you don't know my story. You don't know where yeah. I'm coming from. You don't know, like, you know, I've struggled with, in fact, we've talked about this, like, I've struggled with real eating issues in the past. So it's like, that stuff can be really, like, frustrating to hear, even if someone's like, I remember I had a friend once say it best. If you've noticed my weight loss, it means you notice my weight gain. And I was like, ooh, good point on either side of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, or someone could lose a bunch of weight and they're like, you look great. And you're like, I've been sick for 5 months. And you're like, oh, okay, never mind. Yeah.
Sorry. My bad.
Great diet.
You look terrible.
You look really ill. That's what I'm going to start saying to people that have lost weight. But I understand that needing to let that go. And here's the thing too. Pretend it is you. Pretend someone is saying something. It's about you. It has nothing to do with them. It's like, okay, you're allowed to voice your opinion and they can say whatever they want. But it's like, does that serve you to take it to heart? It's like people might not like you. They might not like your body. They might not whatever. But I'm like, that now becomes your problem, because mm-hmm. I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to change my opinion. Or if I do, I'm in trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah.
That's like another thing that kind of that I found that book really pushed, was knowing yourself and knowing, because it's, if it's talking about languages of love, it's like, how can you love somebody else if you're completely checked out on you?
True.
It's not possible. 100%. You know what I mean?
And I've been through that. I've been through like the situations of like, I don't even like myself enough to like this other person. So how can I be in this situation? You know, like, And that stuff is hard, and it's stuff that you got to go through and talk about. And I started doing therapy like 2 years ago and then stopped for a long time. Well, I guess it's 2021 now, so 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then stopped for a while and then started back during the pandemic, because I was just like, I'm taking everything personally.
Yeah.
Somebody, like, I remember responding to somebody's story on Instagram, and they left me on red. And that spiraled me, because I was like, me and this person has never had a negative reaction. Me and this person, what did I do? Why didn't they person, like, what happened? What da, da, da? And then they like messaged me like 2 days later.
Okay.
And it was like, I'm going insane.
Yes, it's so true, because it's like, I do this all the time. Like, I'll check my phone, I'll get a message, but then, you know, something distracts you, or you have to go do something, and then you just like completely forget about it. I do that all the time. But if someone doesn't text me back immediately, oh, they're mad at me. Even if, like, for the life of me, I cannot think of something I did, I'm like, no, it's definitely something. I know I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And about, like, about the relationship stuff, it's like, I know with Norm, I'd had boyfriends in the past and stuff, but like nothing to, you know, where you're like, oh, let's get married immediately. But before Norm and I had dated, we'd kind of had crushes on each other, and it was maybe, you know, it was one of those, are we, aren't we type things. And I was like, I can't do this, because I'm going to fuck it up. I'm in such a bad place. And mm-hmm. we didn't date for like a year, because it was like, things were so messed up with me. And I had to, like, I went to rehab, like I had to sort out a bunch of stuff. And then it was mm-hmm. like, when I was able to be like, Alana, you're worth work and effort, you're worth it, then I was able to be with him. And then it like totally worked out, except that I need a break from him.
Nah, you gotta watch football now, man. Have you picked a favorite team yet?
Oh my god, of course. Okay, let me tell you all of them. I have a couple, and I have motivations. Here's why.
It better be that one.
Here's the thing. I am a Saints fan.
Let's go.
I actually am a Saints fan.
Who that?
Because here's the thing, of the years that I've been with Norm, we've been watching football, and they're one of the most consistent teams. I mean, you had, so it's like, we're, this is a Rams house, Norm loves a good home team, and, you know, we don't really watch the CFL in Canada, so this is a Rams house, but it's like, how do you go 1 year to the championship, and then you come the next year, and you're like a complete mess? The Eagles did the same thing, so mm-hmm. it's like, I find the Saints to be absolutely consistent. I'm obsessed with Aaron Rodgers, so I'm a Packers fan.
Yeah,
I'm obsessed with Aaron. And then I am a Rams fan. They have to sort a couple things out. And I just love Patrick Mahomes. He is the darling of the NFL.
You gotta love him. And Lamar Jackson. Get into Lamar Jackson.
Yes, I am into Lamar Jackson. I'm a big QB person because I love a leader. Naturally, I love a leader in life. Why not?
Now, let me ask you this. Where do you stand on Tom Brady? Because this is we hate Tom Brady in this household. And by we, I mean me.
Okay.
Because I'm the only person who lives here.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. Okay. Let me just... Okay. When I first started watching... Oh, my God. Did you hear that?
A little bit, but it's not...
Oh. My computer and phone just exploded. Okay.
Oh, you don't hear the, you don't hear the computer.
Oh, thank God. Okay, great. I thought I heard something explode. Okay, so... When I first started watching football, I had a physical crush on Tom Brady, and he's with Giselle and all this kind of stuff. Then I very quickly got over him and didn't like the Patriots. Now, do I think it's cool that he went to another team and essentially like whipped them into shape? Sure. Do I wish it was anyone but him? Yes.
Yes.
So I liked the outcome. I'm a Mighty Ducks girl. You know what I mean? Like, I like the outcome. I love an underdog, but it really bothered me that it was him, that it took him. It really bothered me.
That team, first of all, they play in the Saints division, so that's hard for me. But I do love an underdog as well, and they have been an underdog technically all this time. But then they, like, really stacked up in the offseason when they got Tom.
Yeah.
And also, they had, like, a full, like, their whole coaching staff is black men and white women. Like, they have, like, the most diverse coaching staff.
Wow.
Like, they're all, I think Bruce Arians is probably the – Bruce Arians is maybe one other dude that's probably the only two white dudes on their coaching staff. And Bruce Arians had cancer. So put him in a diverse
– Get like, him in there. Get like, him in there. Get him in there.
But, like, he – like, Bruce Arians and then, like, Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles and, like – that whole team, the whole coaching staff, like they have two women on their coaching staff. And so I'm like, you want to root for that. But it's like Tom Brady just ruins it.
He ruins
because
everything.
He encompasses everything that we are mad at white men about.
Yes. He's a complete.
Mediocrity and just keep winning. Just keep winning.
And he's a complete asshole, dude. He, like, you can see him screaming at people. Every game you can see him screaming at people. It's like.
And they go, look at that passion. But then on the other side. Oh, I remember this guy. I'll never forget this because it was just like just so blatantly like racially.
Okay.
I'm not saying these dudes are racist because that's a strong word, but it was they didn't even I don't think they realized what they were saying.
Okay.
Because they showed two clips like Dez Bryant, wide receiver, pissed off at his team because he's not getting the ball. He's throwing his helmet. He's like, look at that savagery. Listen, you got to be better. If you want the ball, you got to be better and you got to do this. And then Tom Brady's on the other side like. You just see him mouthing, fuck you, and fuck you. And they go, look at that passion. Look at that.
Like, it's true, though.
Look at that. That's a leader. And I go, I hate this guy forever. Because football's a yelling sport. I played football. Although now I can look back and say it's very toxic. Like, yeah. But I do, like, understand what it is. And I don't have no problem with people yelling. But don't compare the two and be clowning Dez Bryant for it and then praising Tom Brady for it.
Yeah, it's like he can do no wrong just because he's good. But you can separate someone as a person versus their skill set. He has skill, though. Yeah. Okay, fine. I'm not going to take that away. But it's like, I mean, really, this all goes back to self-esteem. It's like, maybe Tom Brady loves himself too much or hates himself. I can't tell what it is. From his actions, you're like, you either think you're the king shit and are so entitled and think you deserve everything, or you have imposter syndrome. And you're like, they're going to find out. Because when you have that kind of rage, and he always does, something's going on. Don't you think?
I agree. Any negative opinions on Tom Brady, I agree with. I don't care what they say. You know he... You know he shits doing a handstand and it falls down his face. Yep, I agree. I bet you it's true.
Oh, I'm glad you got my email. Great. I blasted that out. Nobody wrote back. And I thought to myself, am I wrong on this?
I will say this. At the Super Bowl parade party, which everybody was mad about that they had because of COVID.
Yes.
But Like, you know, it's Florida. Either they've had it or I bet you herd immunity has been there for months. But like, so it, he was drunk.
Yes.
And that was the first time that I ever said, huh, I actually don't hate this version of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But like it was the first time, like I don't hate it as much as I hate the I don't eat strawberries Tom Brady.
Yeah. It's, you know what it is? It's because he always tries to present himself as someone who's so composed, even though he's not that at all. But he tries to seem so put together. And like, listen, I've talked about this on the podcast a million times. I know a lot of performers feel the same thing. Like you have to put out a certain energy or attitude or whatever to be like, I'm a comedian. I'm not fazed by anything. But it's like, bullshit, dude. Have a drink. Kick back. Show us that you're a human being. It's like, it's why I love this podcast and people coming on here, because it's like, you're all human beings and it's okay to show that sometimes. In fact, people will fall in love with you for it. And because look at you, the biggest hater. And then you're like, oh, maybe for a split second.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. For that split, I did. I reposted that video. I was like, I like this. Because he was turned. He was like having to get like walked out. Like, I was like, all right, Tom Brady's turned. Because I've seen Aaron Rodgers turn. Now, Drew Brees, my favorite of the Saints quarterbacks. I've never seen him turn, but I've seen him make missteps.
Dude, the Drew Brees and Tom Brady back and forth all season.
Yeah.
That was like just each game, they'd creep up just the smallest amount in each game. Man, that was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Drew has been leading him in all categories forever.
Yes.
But now it's not going to happen. Tom Brady's going to surpass him and win. I mean, he surpassed him in championships, of course, but like now he's going to surpass him in all the records too, because Tom's playing next year and Drew's done.
I just want to say for all the listeners, if you guys are impressed with how much I know football and everything, please tweet at Self-Esteem Party, hashtag she knows.
Better do it.
Hashtag she knows,
because this is amazing. I'm having a great time.
Are you impressed with me?
I am extremely impressed. Extremely impressed.
That's all. I have to give Norm all that credit, because the only reason why I got into football is because it was properly explained to me. And I don't mean the rules. I mean the beefs, the drama behind it all, the rivalries. Like, that's what's going to get me. It's like, you know, I love shows like Vampire Diaries. So it's like, if there's not something going on, and I understand, you know, all my crushes are one-sided. Nobody's really, you know, given that back to me in any way, but it's like everything else of the drama and everything, and the drama with your friends of rivalries, I love it. I can't get enough. If there's a scandal or anything like that, I'm involved. Count me in on you this season. If you need to talk about the Saints, shoot me an email. No texting.
Oh, 100%.
No texting. I have unlimited data, but I don't want to waste it just in case.
You don't text?
What
kind of phone do you have?
I text everybody. You don't text? If you guys could see Carl's face, he was disgusted with me.
It's 2021. What you got? You texting T9 like we was in high school? I remember I got in trouble because I got a girl's number for the first time. My friends, like, I was always very shy with women.
Uh-huh.
And I got, and we were at the mall, and my friend's like, Carl, that girl's looking at me. You better go get her number. And then one of my gangbanger friends was like, man, you gonna get her number, I'm gonna beat your ass. And I was like, well, I don't want to get beat up for not getting this girl's number. And so let me go try and get her number. And we were all scared of this dude. He was a real gangbanger.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But he was like, you go over there, I'm going to beat your ass in this mall. I was like, well, that'd be embarrassing. Because he was smaller than me, too. But like, but we still were all like, this is a real gang member. And I got her number, and I couldn't text her. Because I was she was texting me, and I was like, I can't. This is 15 cents a text. My mom's going to kill me if she gets this bill.
Carl, I love that you asked a woman out because you were threatened to do so.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what did you even
say
16. To her? What did
we
you
were 15 or 16. Oh, I don't remember. We were at the mall. We were at the Fox Hills Mall. I don't remember. And we, like, walked past this group of girls because that's what you know, you walk through the mall.
Yeah.
The girls are there at the food court or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I had to walk up. And, like, I think what it was I was always designated the, hey, go break the ice because you're funny.
Yeah, you are.
But I didn't have to, like, I didn't have to talk to the girls. Like, my job was done. Once I, like, say something like, oh, hey, let me get some of that orange chicken if they went to Panda Express or, you know, anything. Like, and then they're like, and then all my friends come over like, what's up? What's good? You know, talking. And then one girl was, like, sitting there and she wasn't really talking to nobody. But she was looking at me. And my friend was like, hey, girl, was looking, why you ain't say nothing? I was like, nah, man, I'm cool. You know, trying to play it cool, but I was just super shy.
Yeah.
And that's when he was like, man, go back. You always do that.
Like, wait, Carl, how long were you shy for? Or is this just around girls, or were you like shy in life?
I think it was kind of in life, kind of around, mostly around girls. I still get a little shy around girls. I still don't really like go out of my way to talk to women. I still don't.
But you begged me to be on this podcast. What are you talking about?
And sent you a dozen roses and a bunch of text messages. Yeah. No, I still like, I have fallen into the trap of waiting on girls to hit on me, which hasn't always worked out for the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really did that when we were in school and stuff. I never really, and I'm not to throw any of my friends under the bus. We were kids and, you know, we didn't really know the things that we know now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my friends were definitely like hey, excuse me, can I talk to you? And then the girls would be like, ugh, no. And they'd be like, fuck you did. Like, you know, the bad guys, you know? if we were 16, but if we were still doing that now, it's like, all right, man, you got to
chill out.
You have an issue with women. Yeah. That you need to address.
I don't know. These guys sound pretty promising. Maybe if you want to pass my information along.
A lot of these guys are, most of these guys turned out to be great dudes. And even the gangbanger.
But you know what? You don't know when you're 15, 16. Like, you know, when I was high school crushes and this and that, it's like, you have no idea. And as a girl too, it's like, oh my God. The way you try to present yourself is like so meek, and you're like, I like hockey, or like whatever you're pretending to like at the time. Mm-hmm. Is like, I look back at that and I'm so upset with myself that I didn't become cool until maybe just this last year, really. And I had to be in my house cool the whole time. Nobody saw it. Nobody saw how cool I became.
there was a thing about I could be cool with everyone else.
Uh-huh.
And I will. That's why I think everybody has always said, like, "Oh, but you present yourself with so much confidence." But it's like when I get out of that, I still get a little bit like, "Oh no!" Like, I've definitely like been at a bar, and some ladies like making eyes at me, and I'm just like, "Okay, I'm gonna go back to my friends."
Oh my god, Carl, you're so cute. I don't know if guys like being called cute or not, but you are so cute. And I remember when I was doing a show, I guess 7 years ago, according to the photo. Mm-hmm. I remember you and I had a conversation backstage where you were like, I can't wait to get married and be a father. And I was like, really? And you were like so happy and beaming at the idea of like someone wonderful coming into your life and you having this beautiful life with them. And I was like, I don't know any other guy that at your age was like so mature in that way to be like, yeah, that would be great. Maybe not right this second, but like that would be fantastic. Yeah. Most guys are like, no way, not happening. Or like your friend threatening to beat people up in a mall. You know, this is what most other guys were doing.
Actually, I have to get married for him. If I don't get married soon, he's going to beat my ass.
Honestly, I'm loving that the friendship continued. And why not?
Yeah.
Let's jazz it up a bit. You know what I mean? My friends are never beating me up and they're rude for it.
Okay. Yeah, they're rude for it. They don't love you.
So here's a question I have for you, because you've been doing therapy, self-reflection, all this in over the last year or so, and previous to that, but it seems like most people over the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
What is something that you kind of figured out about yourself that maybe you didn't know before or didn't put much attention on?
I used to think that I was an extroverted introvert.
Okay. Okay.
But I believe that I am an introverted extrovert.
Okay.
Because I don't need to be the life of the party, but I want to be at that damn party.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a great definition or example. Sorry. That's a great example of that. Was that something that like you came up with, or is that something like a therapist or a friend pointed out to you? Because that's a realization. That's a big one.
Yeah, that was something I came up with after I was just having such a hard time, because I'd always use excuses. So I lived with my mother for a bunch of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I hate being at home, but that's because I live with my family. And then I moved out and I had roommates. I was like, man, I hate being at home, but that's because I just don't have no space. I don't have no, like, my roommates are all up in my shit. And then I moved into my own place. And I was like, I still hate being at home.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, I still want to go out at every turn. Like,
yeah, I mean, especially this last year, my God, I think I used to have a lot more of that. And then the older I got, I think some social anxiety started to kick in. And I have a sneaky feeling it's what we already talked about taking things personally. And that mm-hmm. that's kind of what did it, because you'd be like nervous to go somewhere like, oh, do people want me there? And then you go and they're always so happy to see you. You know, yeah. you know what I mean? But I think sometimes yeah. I think that really happened later in life. And I really regret it. I regret not going to the parties and events I was invited to, because how nice of them to invite me. And then it was like, I took it for granted and then it was all taken mm-hmm. away. And I was like, and listen, I'm going to say this for the listeners. I'm putting this out there. I will never say no to your event.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement.
It's bold. But I got on Peter last night. We're all fully vaxxed. And so I was like, let's go to the, like, I live near a outdoor bar situation.
Oh, great.
I'm like, let's get out. Let's go. And they're like, man. And Peter was like, oh, man, I'm too tired from the day. I was like, Peter, you don't have a job. Okay. And what are you so damn tired of? And he would do this before the pandemic. He would always be like, ah, man, I'm ahead. Like, it'd be after Harold night and we'd be at Birds. And I'm like, hey, man, let's go make another move. Let's go somewhere. And he's like, ah, man, I'm exhausted, man. I'm tired. I'm just so tired from that. I'm like, Peter, why are you doing? And then during the pandemic, he was like, I swear to you, I'm not going to be that guy anymore. Once we can get back out, and now we're all like fully vaccinated, 2 weeks after our second shot, full efficacy. Like, also, California is on the fast road to herd immunity.
Yes, we are.
Like, the numbers are, people really don't have this shit out here right now. Like,
yeah.
Like, not many people. So let's get out there. Come on, man. Like, it's outdoor bar. Like, we're not going to a rave. Like, it's a Tuesday night. Like, yeah. Let's go. Let's just go have a drink at a table. Like, let's go. Ah, man, I'm too tired, man. I'm like, you're doing it. Peter is back.
Well,
so I roasted him for that shit.
Yeah, listen, Peter's back, but Atlanta has arrived. And
let's go.
Send me those invites. Especially, I'm going to say
through
this
email?
Too. Well, via email, as we know, I don't text. Thank you. But I'll say this. It's like, I understand, really pretty much up until we all got this vaccine, if you want to say no for something, no problem. I didn't question anybody, because mm-hmm. if it wasn't fear of COVID, it was everything else that was going on in the world of stressing people out, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think especially, you know, everyone's like, new year, new me with the resolutions, and then the insurrection happened and everyone just got into the worst space possible, which completely makes sense. But it's like, if it's an outdoor situation, I'm like, guys, we've seen the numbers, we've seen the science, we know how that works. If you're outside and you're fully vaxxed, we're literally having the biggest laugh on the planet. It's, you know what I mean? It's like, if you got it, I'd be, and I'm not a scientist yet. I could be. I'm not a scientist yet, but this is according to the CDC, and those guys I'm following, if they're saying yes, I'm saying yes. Simple as that, me and Fauci. Speaking of, who's your favorite CDC member? No. Okay, Carl, now that you're going to be getting back out in the world, what are the first three things you want to do?
Oh, man. You know what? I do want to go to the club.
A real live club.
I want to go to the real club, because I stopped going to the club.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I was a pretty young age, I was like, I'm over this. This sucks. I also, and now that, you know, I've had a couple jobs, it got a bit of a nest egg that I can afford to do it a little bit bigger at the club.
Yeah.
So, like, and my boys are like, we're in this mode of like, man, let's do it. So, like, me, Lamar, like, we're like, let's go get a table in Vegas. Like, let's go. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the homies together, because one of the most fun nights we had, I think we were celebrating Lamar's birthday, and it was like a huge group. It was me, Lamar, Ronnie-ish, Ego, Kirby, Ashley Harrison. Like, we all went to Vegas. And like, we just like, let's go to Vegas. And we went to a club and we got a table, and we got a nice table, it was a nice section, and we all split it. And it was the most fun night. It was the most fun night. And I just want to do that again.
Carl,
at a really nice club.
The most fun birthday I've ever had in my life was when I turned 30, and I also went to Vegas. We also got a table. Ryan Lochte, the Olympic swimmer, was at the next table wearing too big of a scarf, and I was the first one to say it. I let him know, and it was one of the funnest nights of my entire life. I wound up on the pole, and no one could.
Yeah.
The actual dancer was supposed to come, and our server waved her away, and it was like, Dude, and then our, so it was me and seven girls and a guy I was dating at the time, peace and grease to him. But it's like the girls, everyone's a knockout. Everyone's dressed to the nines. We got the first bottle, you know, the bottle's done. And then it's like, you either head out, you get another one. We were partying so hard. They gave us another bottle for free. And
let's go.
We were, I'm telling you, oh my God. Then I did ecstasy. It was the funnest night of my life.
It can be fun. Like, that's fun.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I'd give anything to go back. Anything.
I want that. I want the club. But I also, I think I just want a no mask party.
Yeah, dude. I'll do a house. I would love a house party. I would love, yeah, somebody wants to do a backyard party. But if I can eat and drink, that's my problem. It's like you're seeing people socially distanced, but you're not actually doing anything but sitting in your newly purchased chair. Like,
exactly.
That's all, yeah, you're doing. So it's like,
exactly.
And I'm not saying, yeah, you need booze, but at least snacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm saying you need booze.
Well, I'm saying you need booze, but if people don't drink, you don't have to drink. But hello,
you don't have to drink.
What about a delicious Coke Zero?
What if that was like, oh, you gonna drink tonight? I'm gonna, yeah, get my, I'm gonna get my friend from high school to be like, if you don't take this drink, I'm gonna beat your ass.
I'm gonna be like, I guess I like Carl's friend. I don't, it's, know. Like, no, he seems motivated. Yeah, he seems really motivating. Oh, I miss that guy. If I ever met him.
Nah, I think I just want a good no mask, like. Look at, like, a no mask trip to Hawaii, a no mask club night, a no mask. Like, I think the mask thing is just still taking me out of situations.
Yeah, I'm having a, like, hard time with it too, because I feel like I can't express myself to anybody because I'm, you know me, I've got such a big smile and, mm-hmm, and I love laughing and smiling. And I feel like no one's getting that out of me. And I feel like it looks like I have a bad attitude because my mask is covering up all my feelings.
Yeah. And we smizing, trying to.
Oh my God! Yeah, my eyes. Everyone's like, "Are you okay?" Like, I look insane.
Sometimes I want to walk people and pull it down just real quick, like, "Hi," and then keep going, like, real quick.
Yeah. Right. Now, what about the movies? Where do you stand with the movies?
You know what? I wasn't a big movie goer before, but now I'm finna be in the movies. I'm finna go.
The movies are fun. Once Vista reopens, I hope it makes it through this. Watch yourself. I'll be there nonstop.
Yeah, I want that, but I want it, like, again, I don't, because the movies apparently are opening, like, next week. So, like, are they, do we have to keep the mask on in the movies? Can we not eat the snacks? Is it going to be, like, two, yeah, people here, then two people here? Because it's like, if it's that, I don't really care.
Yeah, I want to go, I basically want to go everywhere when I can just straight up go everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I know exactly, yeah.
And honestly, I know there's a lot of conspiracy about the vaccine and microchips and this, this, and this. If something can get me in a place with no mask where I can hang out and not stress out, chip me all you want. Put all the microchips in me. I don't care. What am I hiding? Show me. Where am I going? You know what I mean? I don't care. Yeah.
You're just going.
You're so
desperate. I'm not
running
from nobody.
Yeah. You're so desperate to know I'm in the restaurant. Fine. You know what I mean? People check in on Facebook willingly. It's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you guys have the right to your privacy and if it matters to you, don't roll with me or Carl or his gangbanger friend. Okay?
Yeah, don't.
We have somewhere to go.
Also, we have to qualify for the listeners who are still very afraid of what's going on and who are half trusting the science that is literally saying we're okay and stuff. Stay in your house. Do what you do.
Totally.
Do what you do.
And I'm so glad you said that because it is... And I've definitely put this forward the last year of the podcast. It's no judgment. It's just no judgment. Wherever you're at is where you're at. And, yeah, it, you know, it's much like these languages of love. Take care of yourself.
Yeah. We also ask you for the same, though.
Yeah.
We also ask you for the same. Don't be shaming when you see the pictures of us being lit and being safe because we are fully vaccinated post 2 weeks, fully efficacy. When we out here getting it in. Don't be saying nothing.
Well, dude, it's tough because I got a lot of friends in Canada, right? And it's going bad up there.
Yeah, ain't that crazy? Ain't that crazy? I was just talking to one of my friends in Canada. They were like, oh, the rollout here is bad.
And they,
like,
and they were so ahead of us with the shutdown and the numbers were so low. And now it's like, yeah, exploding. I feel so bad for everybody because it's like, you know, it was so bad here and it was safe there. And now it's just the complete opposite. And I wish I could get people the vaccine, but there's nothing we can do. And it's making me crazy. Crazy. Yeah. Where's your friend live in Canada?
Toronto.
Okay, yeah. Ontario's just, I mean, the mayor, whatever. Anyways, I won't care. Yeah. it's a mess. And Mom, I know I banned you from listening to the podcast, but if you are listening, hang in there.
Yeah.
I banned
her. That's crazy.
Her.
I was very surprised. when she told me, when she was like, oh yeah, the they're not getting it to us, like we got a long ways to go. I'm like, what? Like, California's like half the state is vaccinated, and like we're like headed for a reopening in like 2 months.
Carl, I have to be honest with you. The first part of that sentence, I did think you were talking about my mom, and I was like, well, that's nice that he reached out to her.
No, yeah. I hit up your mom, and she said that y'all ain't got it. I was like, well, this is.
Yeah. I was like, Amal, are you okay? Yeah. okay, wait. How do you like living on your own? And when did you move in relation to the pandemic? Were you already there before it hit?
I was already here. I moved in here in November of last year.
Okay.
Of 2019, 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I absolutely love it. Oh, like having my own space, having my own, like I can do anything. I got a bunch of shoes over here that I'm going to have to eventually find a place for. I've run out of space in a one bedroom.
Yeah.
But I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, it's just nice because you can put your shoes everywhere.
Yeah, my shoes are here. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, let me see. Show me these shoes. Whoa, that's a massive collection. Oh, my God, girl.
But,
and you have so many shoes.
Yeah.
I was, like, joking around, but you have so many shoes.
I got a lot. And they keep coming, too. I don't know where they're coming from. Oh. Maybe from my bank account.
Wait, so what's with the shoes? Why shoes?
You know what I think it is? So, and this is something I've talked to a therapist about.
Okay.
I have become a shoe guy because when I was younger, my foot grew really fast. I was in a size 14 in middle school.
Oh, my God.
And so my mom couldn't afford to buy me cool shoes and stuff like that.
Okay.
She couldn't. I had one pair for the whole year. I would get a pair for the beginning of the year, and then I would get a pair maybe at Christmas if my dad pitched in, and then I would get a pair maybe if it was a cheaper pair. Like towards the end to like kind of wear in the summertime when I'm like, you know, just walking the street.
Yeah.
And, or I would get just like, and then I would need a pair for like basketball.
Yeah.
So I would need like a pair. And, you know, we can't show up to basketball with like not like a good pair. Like you got to have a good pair.
You'll get injured. Literally, you will get injured.
Yeah. Or you'll just get roasted until your arms break. Yeah. And so, like, my mom did her best with me.
Yeah.
But I did not have, and she always put me in, you know, the best public schools and stuff like that. But I just didn't have the same stuff as the other kids did because a lot of them were coming from, you know, more wealthier families.
Yeah.
And so now that I can afford my own shoes and I can get whatever pair of shoes that I want when I want it, I've kind of developed a habit for.
You know what? Good for you and your therapist for tracing that back. And that makes so much sense. And you know what? Yeah. Good for you. You work really hard. You have a lot of success. You deserve nice things. Everyone deserves nice things, but it's like, treat yourself, of course. Of course. Yeah. Otherwise, what's the point? You know what I mean?
And I'm not buying, exactly. I'm not buying, like, I'm not like, you know, getting a $1,300 pair of, you know, resale Jordans and stuff like that. I'm not doing that type of stuff. I'm getting shoes that I want to wear. Like, I'll go to the Van store and I'll just get four pairs.
Like, wow!
Oh, I like that one. Oh, but I like that one. Oh, but I also like that one. Let's just get these. And usually they're on sale. When you go to the Vans outlet, they usually have really great sales at the Vans outlet.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. My fully vaccinated plan is to go to a store and purchase the clothes and shoes that I need because I've been put on a shopping freeze because I shop online so much and return almost everything. Because how can you buy clothes? Even if I buy from the same brand and I know it fits, it will come and not fit. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm on a freeze now. I have to stop. I go to the UPS all the time. It's getting out of hand. It's too much.
So you're returning. That's good that you're returning.
I have to return. If something doesn't fit, I have to return it. I can't keep it.
I give it to a friend or I donate it to my buddy works for Sella, the homeless place.
Yeah.
And so I either give it, I don't return it. I just give it to a friend. Like I got a pair of shoes the other day that they don't fit.
Okay.
They're my size. They're just like, for some reason, they're just like too narrow.
Yeah.
For my foot. And so I was just like, I can't wear these. So I just hit up my friend. I was like, hey, you want this pair of shoes? I know you can fit them. And he's like, yeah, thanks. And then I got a couple jackets that I usually can fit this brand in a specific size. And these came and they do not fit. And so, but they were like cheap, like just like little windbreakers. And so I'm going to give them away.
That's right. You're so sweet. I make a point to clean out my closet and donate as much as I can. But wow, brand new. Okay.
Well, because at least I know that it's going, like, it makes me feel better for buying some shit that I didn't need.
Yeah.
Because I definitely did not need it.
Yeah, that's
so if
a
I'm
good
like,
point.
If I get it, and then like with shoes, I'll donate a bunch of shoes, like the ones that I haven't worn in a long time or haven't even looked at or thought about. Like, I'll donate those because there's probably some 14-year-old kid like I was who needs a size 14 who can't afford any shoes. And so I like to take and give those, like, to people like that. Because my shoe size is hard to find.
Yeah, yes, it is. I was definitely a thrift store shopper growing up. And I remember it's like if you're shopping at the Goodwill and you would find something that was a brand name, like a cool brand, it would be like the greatest thing on the planet because you could wear it and nobody knows you got it for $3. And you're like, oh, me? I wear jeans. And everyone's like, great. We all have jeans on. It's like, for me, I think I'm the coolest person.
Yeah.
And that is a lot about my childhood, me thinking I was cool. Like, turns out I was not. That's fine. I've come to terms with that. It took a lot for me. Like, when I was a kid, I really thought everything was just going swimmingly. And then, like, I look back and I'm like, I was out to lunch and, like, best friends with my teachers. And I was like, these guys think I'm great. Like, get a life. I'd rather be beat up by your friend in a mall. My God. Okay, Carl, if you had to give some advice to anybody in this pandemic, which happens to be everybody, as it turns out, all of our listeners. But if you had to give somebody some advice of, like, you know, personal growth or important things to be doing during this time, what would it be?
Don't run from yourself.
Oh,
like, get to know yourself. Get to know who you are. And recognize your flaws. Take responsibility. Take accountability. Not everything is our fault, but if we perpetuate it, it becomes our fault.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you, just because you didn't rob the bank, doesn't mean you didn't know about it. And if you hiding the gun, you got to go to jail too.
And this is being directed towards me, just so everybody knows. I was recently caught up in a heist, and here we go.
Yes.
I love that.
You're going to try to get out of the heist. Yeah. You're going to try to say, I didn't have nothing to do with it, but congratulations. You got to go to jail, too.
Congratulations. My prize I've won. I love that. Don't run from yourself. I love that.
Don't run from yourself. You got to know, like, we all have to face it at a certain point. And it only makes us better. Like, I feel like I'm a much better person for being like, This is a quirk that I have that I got to fix.
Yeah.
And this is something that I do that I have to change. And this is something. And look back at those situations that you feel like maybe you were wronged and go, could I have been better?
Yes. That? I love that. Like, I love looking back and reflecting on things without harping on the past. I like to look back and be like, what's the common denominator? Like, I have these friendships that ended and I'm like, well, the common denominator is me. So maybe I'm the reason that they ended. Like, you know,
and
stuff
don't put
like that.
Don't put that much pressure on yourself because it takes two to tango.
Okay.
But, like, because you can't say, like, it's because you lost some friends. Be like, nah, it was me. Like, no, maybe. I mean, but what you do have to look at is, so what I had to do at a certain point, relationship-wise, it's like, there's this reason why I'm attracting a certain type of woman and the situations have become what they've become. Why is this? Let me look inside. I have to look myself. I have to take responsibility. I have to take what am I portraying?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing that is causing this? Okay, I don't like the way that looks in the mirror. I'm gonna change that. But that don't mean that they didn't have some culpability in whatever, you know. So don't put all the hardship on you.
I appreciate that because I think I do that a lot and I don't notice, and then someone like you right now will kind of point it out, and I'm like, oh yeah, that was really all or nothing. That was really all or nothing thinking of being like, it's 100% my fault. Or, because then you get in the danger of saying it's 100% their fault.
Their fault, yeah.
And then.
And, yeah. Take account, like, that accountability is real. That accountability is real. And I think what I learned in that same situation was I was attracting a certain type of woman that behaved a certain type of way because I behaved a certain type of way.
Okay.
And so I do take that responsibility for the way I behaved, but they also have to take the responsibility for the way that they behaved, you know?
Yeah.
And so it ain't, you're not wrong in thinking like they they did me a certain type of way. But you're also, but you are wrong in thinking it was 100% your fault, because right. It was.
Yeah. Two to tango.
Takes two to tango. You didn't even though your homies robbed that bank. If they told you, you got to go to jail. Take your prize.
I can't believe I posted about this heist. I don't know what I was thinking. Now everybody knows.
Yeah.
Knowing me, I would too. I'd take a fun picture. Okay, Carl, you came into this podcast at a 7.7. How are you feeling now after spilling your guts?
I'm at an 8.4.
Oh, my God. I didn't know what it was going to be. Wow. Now, that I'll take all the credit for. Thank you.
Take all of it. I wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for you. I'm today's a good day. I got my truck out of the shop.
Oh, great.
And, we're having a good day. Somebody siphoned my gas.
What?
Yeah, somebody stuck a pipe in my gas tank. And sucked the gas out and stole it.
Okay, this is new for me.
And so when they stuck it's very hard to do that with my vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And so they cut the hose off and left it in the gas tank. And so they had to take my gas tank apart and take the hose out.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah, so the most expensive tank of gas I ever got in my life. But we here. They didn't break a window. They didn't drill a hole in the gas tank, which would be more expensive.
And you got it back. You're in a great mood. You're having a good day. Well, I'll tell you what. I came into this podcast easily at an 8 on account of the Zumba. I am leaving at a 9 because how nice to discover some new things about a dear old friend.
Let's go.
Let's go. Carl and I are going to go. We don't have time for this. Carl, tell us, where can we find you on social media so we can see this RB suit?
Follow me at Damn It Carl on Instagram. DammitCarl. Damn It Carl.
No Twitter?
No Twitter. I deleted Twitter. Self-care.
Ooh, he is good. I would do the same, but too popular. If you guys would like to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. If you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana_Johnson on Twitter. Carl, I really can't thank you enough.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to see you.
It's so good. I miss you so much. Well, listen, I'll see you at our trip to Vegas.
Let's go.
Believe in yourself.